2SER Breakfast.
Now, the series Building in the Rocks has, of course, made plenty of headlines this year, and we've spoken about it a lot on this very show as the community fights to save this piece of social and architectural history from demolition. But there's another brutalist icon in Glebe that's also under threat. Now, the Bajura Children's Court sits discreetly behind the colonial Bajura House on Glebe Point Road, and for over 35 years, the courthouse served as an important role in the juvenile justice and welfare system, but was closed permanently in July this year. Now, it's been slated for demolition, but of course, and thankfully, a group of local community members are not letting the building go without a fight. Jenna Reid Burns is a writer, journalist, and of course, from the same Bajura from Overdevelopment Group. Jenna, very good morning.
Now, look, for people like me who maybe weren't overly familiar with the Bajura Children's Court, what's the history of the building? I hadn't actually encountered it before.
Yes, that's the interesting thing about it. It has flown under the radar for a long time, and that's partly because of its design, which I'll talk a bit about later. Mm. It was built in the late 70s, designed in the late 70s, and it finally opened for business in the early 80s, in 1983. And it was built with two purposes in mind. One was to be a remand centre for juvenile detainees, and the other was to be a children's court, replacing the one in Albion Street, Surry Hills. The remand centre side of the operation only continued for a couple of years, but the children's court continued operating there right up until July of this year, when the lease ran out because the building has now been sold to a private company.
Now, when did this sale happen?
It happened in late 2014. It's one of the New South Wales government's asset stripping exercises. It was sold by tender, and before the government sold the building, they actually changed the planning controls for the site. So I don't know how familiar you are with those sorts of things, but there's a state local environmental plan, and then there's a Sydney development control plan. Now, the government was able to change the height and density controls for the site under the State Local Environmental Plan, otherwise known as, or Sydney Local Environmental Plan, otherwise known as SHLEP. but the DCP remains as it always was. So they changed it. They increased the height that they could, that a developer could build on the site, and the density, all because they wanted to get a better price for the site. And it was sold by tender, and it sold for $33 million to a private company called Vision Land Development.
And so we are looking at a residential proposal for that?
Well, it was sold with that in mind. You know, in the advertising brochures were that the brutalist building at the back of the site could be demolished and residential towers could go in. But of course, under the Development Control Plan, the DCP, the height of the site is limited to five stories, which is what the current building is. And council, of course, objected to the changes in the planning controls, but were overridden by the state government, by New South Wales State Property, because, of course, they wanted to sell the site and get the most money they could for it. At the front of the site is a very old building built in the late 1850s, early 1860s by Edmund Blackett, who was a colonial government architect. And he built that for himself and lived there for about 10 years while he worked on Sydney University, the sandstone buildings. So there's a lot of history to the site. It remained in private ownership for about 60 years, from 1860 through to 1920. After Edmund Blackett, there were a couple of other private owners, and it remained as a residence. And the land went all the way through to the rear street, to Avon Street. It's the highest point in Glebe, so it's set up on the ridge line, and the land falls away to the east towards the city. And at the back of the site on Avon Street in the 20s, well, in 1920, the whole site was sold to the state government, and they used it for as a sort of a foster home for children. And when they needed more accommodation in 1920, they built the Metropolitan Girls Shelter on Avon Street, which remained there until the 70s.
Now, I know that Save Bidura campaign, you've got the support of City of Sydney, they're backing a heritage listing.
Yes.
How likely do you feel that this could happen?
Well, look, the state government have made it very hard to get heritage listings approved here now, unfortunately. You've got to just jump through so many hurdles. It's got to go before so many committees. I mean, it's fabulous that Sydney City Council are right behind it now and pushing very strongly. I mean, the thing about brutalist buildings and modernist buildings is we are losing them at quite a rate.
We are.
And these are buildings that really are major civic buildings, and they wouldn't be built like that today. They were built at a time when governments did put a lot of money into heroic sort of architecture and making a statement, you know, having a positive sort of public-mindedness about them. So that's why people are sort of fighting to keep these buildings. The thing about the Bidura Children's Court building, as it's known, it's also known as the Metropolitan Remand Centre, is that it was built very carefully. We're in the middle of a, you know, Glebe is a historic area. The whole of it is a heritage conservation area. And the building was built very carefully to fit in with that. It's stepped so that it doesn't overwhelm both the old house at the front of the site, but also the little single-storey Victorian terraces that line the street, so as not to overshadow them. I mean, it was very carefully built. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't know it's there. Unless you walk around the back streets, you actually can't see very much of it from Glebe Point Road.
Now, Jen, just finally, before we have to break for the news, yes. I know you've got a couple of important events happening for Bidura this week. Can people get involved and help out the campaign?
Oh, certainly. I mean, things are posted on the Facebook page all the time. This morning we have a one-day conciliation hearing in the Land and Environment Court. This is because the developer didn't want to wait for council to make a decision on this, the second development application for the site. The first was already refused in the Land and Environment Court a year ago. She then has put in a second one and didn't want to wait. And so as soon as the 40-day statutory period was up, she went to the Land and Environment Court and said it's a deemed refusal. So council are having to attend this to show they're acting in good faith, given this is the second DA. That happens today. It's just a one-day hearing. But because everyone knows there won't be any conciliation, there's also a three-day hearing has already been scheduled. That doesn't happen until the end of February next year. On Thursday, there's also a really important meeting in at Council's Chambers at 6 o'clock in the evening, which is the second meeting of the Central Sydney Planning Committee, which is a committee made up of three council members and four government-appointed members. And they are going to discuss and vote on whether they recommend that the building be listed. So it's a really important one. We're trying to get people along to show their support for council's initiative here.
Jenna, we'll make sure the links are up to the Facebook page on the 2SER.com website. Thanks so much for chatting this morning.
Thank you, Nick.